Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Food insecurity was already a major problem in South Texas and beyond, but we're expecting things to get much, much worse, according to experts. For one thing, the big, beautiful bill signed by President Trump on July 4th, it is cutting back on SNAP, you know, what we used to call food stamps, you know, supplemental food program. Food prices continue to rise because of the tariffs and because of labor shortages. There are other programs that are being slashed as well that will be hurting food security across the nation and down here in South Texas. It all boils down to, will the local food bank, will they be able to pick up the slack? They're going to be called on to be doing much more. We're joined by Eric Cooper, and he is the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Eric, welcome to be on The Source.
Oh, thank you, David, and thanks for all you do to be a voice for our community, and excited to be on today.
Well, let's talk about what the food bank did during the Guadalupe River flooding in Kerr County, in that area. Y'all stepped up. Y'all were called up to help in that. What did y'all do?
Yeah, so, you know, for most people, they don't realize the San Antonio Food Bank serves 29 counties here in Southwest Texas, so which includes Kendall and Kerr and Tom Green, all of the 15 counties that the governor declared as a disaster area. We fight the daily disaster of poverty, but when a natural disaster occurs, we step up to that too. It's always about meeting basic needs, water, food, in some ways, meals, right? Many families lose access to their homes, their kitchens, don't have the ability to prepare those meals. And so we provide food to about 800 different nonprofit organizations and have some great nonprofits there in Kerrville. Our truck is actually in Kerrville every day. It was there before, during, and will be there after the storm. Salvation Army, CAM Kerrville, Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Lighthouse on the Hill, and the Mustard Seed Food Pantry. These guys are doing some amazing work. We're stocking their shelves, and then we're also providing direct distributions to neighbors. We want to thank the independent school districts that have allowed us to use their parking lots, and then some incredible corporate partners. But we want to make sure that if you were impacted by the storm, that you reach out to us. We have a helpline. That number is 210-431-8326. Again, 210-431-8326. If you were impacted by the recent storms and need assistance with food, call that number or visit our website, safoodbank.org. You can learn about the different outlets of where to go, and we can help you in restoring SNAP benefits if food was lost. There's some provisions that the governor signed in for those 15 counties that allows impacted families to use their SNAP benefits at restaurants. Typically, that's not allowed. It's usually just for groceries, but in the case where families don't have access to food preparation, they can use those SNAP benefits there. But please, if you were impacted, we want to help. And our hearts go out to all the families that experience so much loss. And yeah, we're going to be there for days, weeks, and months into the future.
So I guess so many people have answered the call and have donated and have, you know, corporations and individuals and organizations. They have donated food to what's happening in Kerrville. Maybe so much that is actually it's either rots or the food bank has to grab it and you use it for your other distribution.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, part of disaster response is managing in some ways the disaster of giving. It's always important for individuals and companies and families that want to help to really listen to the community and what they need. Oftentimes people in their, anxious need to serve and wanting to serve might donate clothes, and the clothes might be some of those, you know, ugly Christmas sweaters. Well, they're just not needed. There's a time and a place for everything. And I think that's what the story of the food bank's all about. We serve this region of South Texas. We manage donations every day. We've got a logistical strategy to bring it in, to understand what it is, and then dial it into the need. The solution is always the right thing and the right time and the right amount. And the Hill Country has been overwhelmed with donations. And when it comes to food, you have to think about food safety. You have to think about where to store it, inside, outside, all of those things. And, you know, food goes to waste if it's not managed correctly. And I think we wanted to get the word out so that as we've been hauling food from Kerrville back to the San Antonio warehouse, that if you're trying to make a donation, please just donate at our main facility here in San Antonio. That product will be staged and provided to the impacted areas. The local nonprofits have really reached a saturation where they can't take any more in-kind support. It's a dance. You have to understand, again, what's coming in. Sometimes you have too much of something or not enough of something. The onset of a disaster always needs water. And so the ask for water comes out, and now, you know, we're drowning in water. I mean, there's so much water being donated. We've had enough. It's good. But thank you for all of those that responded. Please don't take these words as criticism. You know, it is just the most strategic way to give is to listen, understand what the need is, and make that investment appropriately.
Well, there is the Texas expression, chicken today, feathers tomorrow, that you may have an abundance right now, but tomorrow, you never know, and it's probably going to be grim. And that seems to be the forecast for the food bank. We've seen federal funding cuts and pauses and all sorts of things happening with the Trump policy, which directly impacts food insecurity in South Texas and across Texas and across the country. What are you looking at? What's most alarming to you?
Well, David, again, I want to thank you guys for being such an incredible voice here on The Source. And a lot's been happening over the last 6-7 months. And, you know, I think of hunger not as a red or blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue. This is an American problem, and we can solve it should we have the desire to do so. And I'm a big believer in fiscal responsibility. I run a nonprofit. I have to balance my budget, and I want extreme efficiencies. And so I applaud the federal government for looking for opportunities to become more efficient. But, you know, the one big beautiful bill offered such deep cuts to programs that help basic needs without reducing the federal spend. I fear sometimes that giving feedback might create retaliation, but I think folks need to understand that signing into law the one big beautiful bill when it comes to putting food on the table and impacting the SNAP program creates a deficit so large that local charities can't fill it. There's no way that the food bank will be able to fill that gap. One way to look at it is for every one meal we distribute at the San Antonio Food Bank, SNAP provides 9. In essence, the cuts eliminated a little more than one meal from the SNAP program. So I would have to double, more than double, to fill that need. And I just think it's unrealistic for philanthropy to fill that gap. Now, we're going to try. We're doubling down and we're educating so that folks know how efficient and effective we are at meeting that need. But it's just such a tremendous cut that I worry that families that struggle will continue to struggle. And it's connected to so much. Food is it's life, it's medicine, it's love, it's nourishment. And that's what we've reduced for families, for children, for seniors that have struggled to put food on their table and now will struggle even more.
Because SNAP money goes mainly to people who live in urgent need, the funds, they're quickly spent. Okay, you can't bank the SNAP dollars. You spend it immediately on trying to feed your family. And this injects economic activity into local economies. Every $1 in SNAP benefits adds more than $1.50 into the country's gross domestic product, and that is a helpful buffer against economic downturns and recessions. I mean, this is not just a charity program. This is an important part of the economy.
Absolutely is, and it's even more important for rural communities, and that's who I think we're most worried about here in Texas. Those 29 counties I serve, it's mostly rural. Those outposts, those grocery stores, those independent grocery stores, those regional retailers like our incredible partners at HEB, those aren't stores that make money. They're stores that provide life and nourishment to that community. In some cases, 20 to 40% of the store's customers might rely on SNAP. When you've just reduced their spend, you've put that business at risk. If that business fails in that rural community, families are going to have to drive to larger urban areas.
If they can.
If they can't, if the transportation's available, to try to buy food. And so it's the same story with regional rural hospitals. I know with the Medicaid cuts, they're very anxious. They need to keep their doors open. Grocers are in the same boat. But that impact of SNAP, when it nourishes a family while stimulating the economy, providing revenue for a store to be able to hire employees, to be able to procure food from dairies and ranches and food manufacturers, everyone benefits from SNAP, and I just am worried about the future of our community.
Taking a pause here, our phone lines are open. We want to hear your stories about SNAP and what's happening with the big, beautiful bill and cuts and food insecurity. 833-877-8255. Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Hi, this is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. Here in South Central Texas, we know the power of community. We show up and stand strong together. That's why we've created TPR's Resiliency Fund, to protect the future of independent journalism, classical music, and meaningful conversations that connect us. And right now, your donation has double the impact. Every dollar you contribute is matched by Texas Cavaliers Charitable Foundation. That match also benefits the incredible work of Camp Camp, a Kerrville nonprofit enriching the lives of people with disabilities. With our resiliency drive, we met the moment. Now, let's build the future. Donate today at tpr.org/resiliency.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Eric Cooper, the president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank, and we're talking about the impacts of Trump policies, how it will make food insecurity much worse, much more dire in our communities and across the country. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Is this what you voted for if you were a Trump supporter? How does this impact you? Or, do you think this is not the policy that you supported? You know, how do we communicate that to our lawmakers? On July 15th, Tracy Kidder, who's one of my writing heroes, he wrote, "A new era of hunger has begun," in the New York Times. It was an opinion piece. And this is what he wrote. "Political conservatives have long disliked SNAP. Many of them argue it's poorly run and discourages Americans for providing for themselves. And yet the need for SNAP is obvious, dire, and nationwide. There is no county in America, no matter how wealthy, where the only hungry people are those on diets. The most recent data available estimates that 47.4 million Americans suffer from the threat of hunger at some point in 2023. Among these people, 13.8 million were children." So, Eric Cooper, let's talk about the impact on children with this new reality.
Yeah, well, a portion of that 47 million Americans that struggle to put food on their table are here in San Antonio. And, you know, there is nothing better that we could be doing than nourishing a child. When we get them the good nutrition that their body needs, they grow healthy. They do well in school. They miss less days at school. They become healthy. the opposite of that is that families are going to have to make some decisions on how to shop a grocery store. All of our retailers are saying they're trying to now pivot to try to have cheaper foods for families to buy. You know, there's four things that impact diet. You know, income is the biggest. That's going to help nutrition. The more you make, the better you eat. Geography, where you live, food desert, food swamp, or do you have access to a store that stocks healthy food? Education, you know, do you know how to prepare food? Can you cook? And then just the commerce around food impacts people's nutrition. But when it comes to feeding kids, we saw during the pandemic when SNAP was really fully supported that families ate better. Their purchases were healthier. Now they're going to lean towards more carbs, starches, cheaper foods, cheaper belly fillers. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in the program. SNAP is a supplement. It usually runs out that second week of the month. It doesn't cover a family's food needs. It relies on that family to be working. The reality is the wage that they're earning is inadequate. That's why they qualify for SNAP. And boy, with pulling back support from families, from children, I just worry about our future.
Let's go to a caller, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Mark. And Mark, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment how SNAP has really helped my family get out of debt, be way more financially stable over the last 5 years. And we're just getting to the point where not having SNAP, we can handle our finances. And I really think it's a great program. And I really am also worried about how people that are in a more dire situation than we were when we started on SNAP, just losing that and not having that extra help, that supplement that to help them get more stable and become be able to participate in the economy better.
Mark, thank you for your call. We appreciate that, giving us that information. I'm going to read another quote from this Tracy Kidder opinion piece that was in the New York Times. He closes out with this. He says, it's easy to make the wrong assumptions about, you know, people who take donation from food banks. One bystander once watched a woman drive off with a load of groceries in an expensive late model SUV and told the food bank operator that he disapproved. She said, that's none of your business. But that woman's husband just left her and her four kids with no money, and that woman's car will soon be repossessed. People like to get real judgy about stuff. You know, they see the lineup sometimes of cars, people coming to get food at, you know, these distressed, and they say, well, look at those cars. Look at those people. They look all dressed up. A lot of people dress up to go get the food at the food bank or whatever because they feel, you know, it's just a natural reaction because they feel so, you know, they have to deal with a lot to be there.
Yeah, I tell you, we work hard to make our food distributions at our food pantries and our mobiles to be as dignifying as possible because we know it's innately human to not want to ask for help. People want to be able to provide for themselves. The embarrassment, the stigma, the fear, all of the judgment, my neighbor, my family. I remember a young boy talking about coming to get food, and he said his father would be so ashamed of him. And it's that shame that I think keeps people away. And this judgment of maybe the exterior, you never know what's going on in that home. And you never know the courage that it took to then come to the place to get the help. And so we want to provide it. SNAP is a program for citizens. There's some provisions that help refugees. There's so much misunderstanding of SNAP. That, like I mentioned earlier, it's right now there is an ability for folks to use it at a restaurant, but that typically is not the case. The benefits tend to be very small and limited. And it's oftentimes not applied for by those that are eligible because the scrutiny and the benefit isn't worth their time.
Yeah, Texas makes it hard.
It's incredibly hard. The application process, the grind specifically for seniors. But when blended, SNAP, other resources like Medicaid, WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, those safety net programs, when they're leveraged to help a family that's struggling because of lack of income, I appreciated Mark's comments. You know, so many people, they're on the program for a season during that time, and then they're on their own. They're self-sufficient. They're self-reliant. And I think employers could do more for their employees when they learn that they're participating in the SNAP program. That's another entity that benefits is those low-wage employers. I mean, they're benefiting because the only way their employee is going to get food is through the SNAP program.
Let's go to Randall on the phones. Randall, you're on the air.
I'm going to be quick. I'm going to go the religious angle on this because so many of the MAGA crowd and the Trump crowd claim to be Christians. I'm a recovering Catholic. That's how I identify. I remember a lot of great Bible stories from my childhood, including the parable of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Did I miss the Bible verse in there where the disciples went through the crowd of 5,000 to check everyone's papers to make sure they qualified? Where was that? I don't remember that part. You know, it's a good thing to make sure that people are fed and make sure that they're productive and they're happy, because when your belly's full, you can get a lot more done. It's better for society.
Randall, thank you for the call. Well, you're talking about people, you're expecting people are going to have to ration food. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it starts at that family level, right? And again, I just appreciate those comments. I absolutely believe that the One Big Beautiful Bill is absent the teachings of Jesus. I mean, it just is not taking care of our neighbors. And I think that families have to choose when they have just a few dollars to spend, what do they buy? And
so they're going to have to skip meals?
Or who gets to eat? All of that. And it's the same thing at the San Antonio Food Bank. At the beginning of the year, there were cutbacks to USDA programs that helped stock our shelves. Those programs were curtailed.
$1 billion in federal funding was cut from USDA.
Yeah, that means inventory that typically would have been on our shelves that we could have gotten to families.
But also for school lunches.
School lunches, the summer EBT program was looked over. Those are resources that could put food on the table. And when you don't have the food, it doesn't mean that you're not responding. It just means you're responding with a little less. And that's the rationing that we're forced to do.
I just want to get one quick caller. We're almost out of time, but I want to get Rosalinda on the air. Rosalinda, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a suggestion or a thought. What about using some of these closed elementary schools and or schools to open soup kitchens and maybe temporary housing? That's all. Thank you.
All right, Rosalinda, thank you for that. So people are, we have to come up with answers. We have to come up with solutions and maybe think outside of the box. What do you want us thinking about? How can we help the food bank? Should we have more food drives at our workplace? What do we need to do?
Yeah, well, again, Rosalinda, thank you for that. And I think it's a suggestion that it's going to take everybody. It's going to take private companies and businesses. It's going to take the public side, cities, counties, state, the federal government. If everybody just does something, I think it'll add up to an amount that might help meet this need. I just think the retreating at this time couldn't come at a worse time for Texas with all that Texans are dealing with. Again, if you need help from the food bank, please call us 210-431-8326. It'd be our honor and privilege to serve.
Eric Cooper, San Antonio Food Bank, thanks for coming in here. We got to figure out how we can help each other, take care of each other in these times. That's what we're here for. We're going to have to organize to figure out how do we get food to the people who really, really need it. And Eric Cooper, you are key to that. So we're going to be counting on you, buddy.
Thank you, David.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.